the reading of God's Word from 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse, the Word of God for the people of God. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. Ernest Campbell was the pastor of the Great Riverside Church in Upper Manhattan in the decade of the 70s. In one of his sermons, he offered what I consider to be a most memorable quote. Campbell said that in this life there are two great days that everyone can experience. The first day is the day that a person is born. The second day is the day a person begins to understand why he or she was born. Two great days in every person's life. The day that you are born and the day that you finally understand why you were born, your purpose, your significance, the meaning that your existence holds. Now, the first great day is a day that we have no problem remembering, the day that we were born. We celebrate our birthdays every year without fail. The real challenge is coming to a place in life, coming to that great day, as Campbell calls it, when we finally and forever begin to grasp the significance of why we are occupying space on planet Earth. Most people, sadly, never experience that second day. They never come to any real understanding of why they are here. And while it may be easy for us to criticize those persons as being primarily on the younger end of the demographic spectrum, they haven't lived long enough, they haven't been given enough time to consider their purpose in life. The truth is that there are many of us who are 50 and 60 and 70 who have yet to come to any real understanding of the significance of our lives, which is why that as people age, there is for some a tendency to quit remembering birth dates. It only reminds us how much older we are getting and how we still haven't learned why we are here in the first place. If there's anything that Christian faith has to offer to people today, it is a resoundingly clear answer to that second question, which leads them to that second great day, the day that we begin finally and forever to understand why We have been given life. You look at Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and there are stories, story after story after story of people who have come to an understanding of the bliss, the unmitigated bliss that comes to people when they finally realize that their lives are being lived out of the center of God's will. And they join God in the places where God has put them to bring about God's redemptive purposes, to make sure that His will is done on earth as it always is in heaven. This morning, we have this passage before us from Peter's second letter, where Peter is offering words of instruction to a church that has found itself in the minority in terms of the prevailing culture in which believers in the first century world are living, and they're trying to understand how their lives might count as a distinct minority in a prevailing culture. And so Peter says to them, there's no reason for you to be insecure about your standing in Christ. God, he says, has given you everything that is necessary to be able to experience His very life in your life. His divine power is at work in you to develop all of these qualities that Peter enumerates, so that as, and this is very important, as you possess these qualities, as Peter says in verse 8, in increasing measure, as you possess these qualities in increasing measure, these qualities will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Might it be that one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons that there are so many people living today without any sense of purpose or significance is because they have fail to understand the ongoing nature of relationship with Jesus Christ? Might it be that one of the reasons that so many people live aimlessly, ineffectively, unproductively, is because they have failed to appreciate how every day with Jesus, as the old song puts it, ought to be truly sweeter than the day before? Might it be that there are some people who once upon a time were excited about being in the center of God's will, enthusiastic about what they might do in the places where God has put them to make a difference, but somewhere along the way, life happened and intruded, and the challenges came upon them, and they lost their zeal, they lost their enthusiasm, they lost, as the book of Revelation puts it, their first love, and they have failed to realize that our knowledge of God through our faith in Jesus Christ is not a one-time affair. It's not something that we confessed at baptism and then put on the shelf, never to revisit our experience with Christ again. It instead is something that carries on day in and day out, so that moment by moment we are giving evidence of God's life being expressed through our lives, through every word, through every deed. This morning, Peter is saying to the church, that if you want to know what the real difference is between living and living with a purpose, it begins with answering the call of God to be God's person to the place where God has put you, and to open your life in that very place to the knowledge that God wants you to have of His mercy and His grace, so that you become a channel of God's power and people in the place where God has put you are made better simply because of your obedience to Him, to His purpose, to His calling in your life. This morning, I'm happy to be back, happy to be with you in worship. Every week, I watched worship at Mount Brook Baptist Church and was so encouraged by what I heard, the singing of the congregation, the preaching of our staff. During the week, I spent a lot of time relaxing. As you could tell, I spent a lot of time out in the sun. I hung around the beach a lot with my wife, Judy, and our family would come to visit, and we would just sit out at the beach. People who wonder, what do you do on sabbatical? You try to do as little as you can. And I would sit out on the beach and I would watch people. People are so fascinating. And especially at the beach, you can see people in all of their glory and all of their misery. One thing I noticed about people at the beach is that there are some folk who are just happy to be there, and that's all they're content to do at the beach, is just to sort of show up and be present. They never leave the confines of the beach umbrella. You know, they set up shop and they park under the umbrella, and that's it. They don't want to go any farther with the experience. There are other people who actually go out to the surf's edge, and you watch them and they stick a toe in the water, and that's it. They're content with just kind of feeling the temperature of the water, and for all intents and purposes, they would say that they have gone into the Gulf, even though they've only put a foot into the water. There are the children who stay at the edge of the water because they have been instructed by their parents, don't go out any deeper. And there are many adults who are also at the water's edge, perhaps because they have had a bad experience in the Gulf and they don't want to repeat that experience again. But there are some people. There are some people who cannot wait to plunge into the water. As soon as they arrive, they run and they jump into the surf and they go as far as they can, some of them with a gizmo, an implement, a paddleboard, a boogie board, a surfboard, but they cannot wait to get into the deep end. What kind of person would you call yourself? Someone who's content with the umbrella. This is enough. Someone who likes to stick your toe into the water and you've been to the beach. Someone who stays in the shallow end because you're too scared or you have been told not to venture out into the deep end? Or are you the kind of person who desires to go deeper because there is something in the deep end that gives your experience more dimension and more substance? I trust you can see the application. There are some Christians who are content with the merest smattering of faith. And as a result, their lives do not reflect the deep purpose that God in Christ has for them to know. Perhaps they've had a bad experience. Perhaps they consider themselves too young. But the Spirit of God is inviting them to go deeper, to move farther, to plunge more fully, so that they might, in the places where God has called them, be His person in ways that bring about transformation and joy. Remember that this passage was written by one of Jesus' more well-known disciples, Simon Peter. We all can recall stories in the gospel about Peter's life, Peter's faith, Peter's witness. What is the crowning story? Is it not that night just before dawn, Peter and the disciples were out in the boat fishing, when suddenly Jesus came toward them walking on the water? The disciples thought they were seeing a ghost and they were afraid. And it was Peter who thought that he could see that the person walking toward them was Jesus. "If it is you, Lord," Peter cried out, "bid me come to you." And Jesus called Peter into the depths, whereupon Peter leapt from the boat and began to join Jesus walking on the water until the rest of the story. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. Jesus rescued him and chided him and called him to an even deeper faith so that Peter might understand the purpose for which Jesus had called him in the first place. We've heard many sermons and many Sunday school lessons on that story, most of which have been critical of Simon Peter. If only he had kept his eyes upon Jesus. But the fact of the matter, what I can appreciate, is that Peter was the only one who had enough faith to leap from the boat to be with Jesus. And from that experience, no doubt, Peter is writing to the church out of his own story, out of his own witness, that joy comes from joining Jesus, answering His call into the depths, where we can experience His power in a way that nothing else affords us opportunity to do. I trust that this morning you have heard the call of Jesus to join Him in the place where Jesus is present and where He wants you to be present as His person. The day you answer that call will be the day that you understand what your purpose in life really is. It will be the day that you understand why you were born. There is no reason why today can't be that very day when you open your heart to God's grace in Jesus Christ, when you develop the qualities that manifest Christ in ever-increasing fashion, that you may be effective and productive, and your life might take on a dimension and a purpose that you've never known before. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, that you have given us life, that you have created us in your image, male and female. We thank you for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ and for the purpose for which you are redeeming us, to serve you, to be your people in the places where you put us. You care deeply, God, about this world, and you call your people to invest themselves in ways that bring about lasting redemptive change. Speak to our hearts now, O God, as we claim the grace and the mercy that you have bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ. As we partake of these elements that symbolize his presence, help us to grow in our knowledge of him, that our lives might be fuller and richer because of our faith in Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.